Matthew chapter 19. We'll look at verse 3. Now, the honest truth is, a meeting like this, I sit there, it's kind of like some of the camps I do. I feel like if we had about another day and a half or 2 days, maybe I could get through the things I'd like to say. Ultimately, though, it's up to you. It's just absolutely up to you. You've got to make it work. You got to want to. You got to keep wanting to. You got to keep wanting to through the ups and downs. You just got to make it work. We can teach you and teach you and teach you. We can beg you. We can plead. We can do everything else. But you got to make it work. And I know you're sitting there saying, Brother Hooker, you know, take it easy. You know, we're all going to be fine. We're going to make it work. Well, I wish that was true. But the fact is, if statistics prove themselves out, somebody in this room in the next 3 to 5 years won't be married. That's scary. And so it's up to you to make it work. Now, the truth is, it's not until Beth and I are not above it. We've got to make it work, and it's something you've got to continue to make work. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. I want you to look at verse 3, Matthew chapter 19. It says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? And boy, isn't that the question of so many Christians. Have you not read? So many things we want to do and we're deciding to do. I just want to say, hey, have you not read? But have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Thank God he did. He didn't make them male and male as we have it today. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain be, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Pray, Father, I pray you bless. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help me this final hour, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to help somebody and please guide my mind and my thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it says, because of the hardness of your hearts. He said, but in the beginning it was not so. We talked a little bit about that with the fellas. God set a precedence at the beginning for what's the purpose of the man and the purpose of the woman and the purpose of the family. I didn't have time to go through all of that, but if you go to the very beginning, God doesn't change. He says in the beginning, from the beginning, it wasn't that way. And see, God never changes, and the way it began is the way it's supposed to continue. And when man and woman come together and become one flesh, that's never supposed to change. Now, he allows it, for adultery, fornication, right now, but people come to me all the time and say, well, it's okay. And I say, it's never okay with God. It's allowed by God in one situation, but only when you can't suffer it. When you just can't go any further. When you just can't deal with it anymore. It's never acceptable in the sight of God. It's allowed. That's a different thing. Totally different thing. But ultimately, it happens because, and watch this now, it may be happening in somebody's heart right here tonight. A hardness of the heart. You know, the fact is we don't realize that our hearts are hardening. It comes in so suddenly. It creeps its way in, little by little. I want to turn to a very unique passage that I'm going to use to talk about the family right now. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. See, Brother Hooker, how does this have anything to do with the marriage? Well, Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. The church is the bride. And he's coming to his bride, and he's saying, you know, you've worked hard. And you know, I don't want to say to this, every couple here, probably, I don't know you like your preacher knows you. I don't know you like God knows you. I don't know you like you know each other. But the fact is, I think probably most of you here are trying real hard. You're exhibiting patience in your relationship. You're working hard toward making your relationship work. But the truth is, little by little, there's a thing of hardness. There's a hardening that takes place in the heart, little by little, to one day we wake up and we realize, yeah, we're going through the motions. We're doing everything. We might even kiss each other goodbye when we go to work. And we might even greet each other in the afternoon when we come in. And we sit down to the meal and we are cordial and we go through the motions of marriage. And we do everything. We've exhibited patience in times of stress. And we are kind to each other. And we do all the right things. But yet we are beginning to leave our first love. We're leaving off that love. You see, I don't think we know. I don't think these people in this church realize. You read who they are. These are people that work. That work, thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Hey, maybe you don't allow things in your home. You don't watch the TV in your home. You don't allow that in your home. And thou hast tried them, which say they're possible or not. You go to the right church. You go there and you work in the church maybe. And you have borne and have patience and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Boy, you're just going on. You're going on and you're going on. And you're making this work. But the truth is, down deep inside, if we could see it, if you could even see it, there's a little area of the heart that's hardening. It's solidifying. And what's happening? I believe there's one thing that I'm going to talk about today that will help us to keep from this. I believe what happens is people who really love each other don't fall in love. I fall out of love, but they, little by little, the heart hardens. Why? I believe it's because we start looking at the present, never remembering the past. That's what I mean by that. Today, you may be like we do, seven children, six children. You may have two, three, four, five children. You got financial stresses, you got the children, you got pressures, maybe health pressures, you got all types of situations, maybe family, maybe the in-laws, you got all the kinds of stresses and pressures. You know, things just don't seem as enjoyable as they used to. You just don't seem to enjoy the same things you used to. It seems like you're dwelling always on the problems of today. It's always, we talked about it a little bit already. You get together and you're always talking about the problems with the children. You're talking about the problems with the finances or something else is broken at the house and you got to spend hours and hours in fixing it. And you got to do, something's always there. In every moment it's a negative. It seems like it just seems that joy, that thrill of the marriage is left. Well, I want to just try to this afternoon before we leave from here, give you one way to bring it back. Rekindle the fire. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Most marriages, I believe, are better at the beginning than the end. Because as time passes, we become lukewarm. But how is it that we can keep the marriage hot? How is it that we can keep the end so it's better? My daddy, and I talked about my mother, excuse me, I lost my mom 2 years ago, and it's still hard for me. But my daddy, they didn't have a home church, but they were about an hour drive away, pastor's a church down there, and he'd come to visit him as my mom was dying from cancer. And he told me over the phone one time, he said, he called me Robert, he said, Robert, I'm not sure I've ever seen a couple more in love than that, those two. You say, well, because she was dying, he really loved her. No, you don't understand. I've never seen a couple more in love myself. 44 years. And I told you last night, they went through hard times. They didn't have any training. But I've never seen a couple more in love. You know, I've never seen where they just wouldn't, never. Even at the time when she was getting ready to die, I watched my mom couldn't even sit up. She's laying there, body all swollen. I see my dad lean over to kiss her, and I could see the sparkle in both their eyes. Because they loved each other so much. How'd they do it? How did they keep that love? I believe it's because they remember. They remember. I want you this afternoon, just for a moment, I want you to remember. Just let's think for a second. Let's go back. Okay, you got some problems today, maybe some stresses and things that you didn't used to have. Let's go back to that first day. Let's go back to that first time that you asked her out, fellas. That first time, I could still remember there at Memphis State looking down over that balcony and seeing Joe Beth down there. She was part of the band. She was rifle and flag corps. And I was the Tiger mascot at Memphis State, traveling to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a ball game. 6:30 in the morning. I was a senior in my first senior year. And I looked over that balcony, and man, I looked at all the girls in Memphis State for those past 4 years, but boy, I looked over there, and there, down there was a brand new one, man. I said, good night. Son, my buddy Bill Street was standing right beside me, and he just looked, Bill never said much. He just kind of, I knew what happened, because all Bill just went, he went, oh. And he took off down those steps. He was going after, and I grabbed him by the back of his jacket, jerked him square back, said, no way, man, that's mine. And I went down there to ask her to ride with me to Tulsa. No, she told me no. Before the weekend's out, we went out. And I came home from that trip, and it may not happen to you this way, but I came home from that trip after going out with Joe Beth that one night. Came home, and when I got home, my brother had been in a motorcycle accident. Found out as soon as I arrived, and I went there. He was in serious condition. I went to the hospital. My mom was standing in the hospital room after we knew he was going to be okay. I could remember standing there, my mom looking at me, and I said, well, I got something to tell you, Mom. She said, what? And I said, I met the girl I'm going to marry. Now, it probably didn't happen for you that way, but bless God, I knew it. Now, she didn't have a clue, but I knew it. I knew she was the one I was going to marry. Now, well, I can remember that time. How about remembering the first time he or she said, I love you? Do you remember? Come on, let's go on back now. For some of you, that's way back. Do you remember? Do you remember as you looked in each other's eyes? And just sparkle. I can still remember looking in her eyes when she told me she loved me, and I could just see that sparkle. I just knew it was real. And I knew that everything I believed had come to pass. You remember the excitement of that night when you got engaged? Hand over that engagement ring. And you remember Jobeth going back to tell your mom and daddy, waking them up, coming downstairs, and as they came down the stairs, your daddy came down, we stood there and said, we got engaged, we're going to be married. Her mama plopped down on the steps. Her daddy just said, well, this calls for some cookies. He went to the kitchen, got in some milk and cookies, and sat down beside Mama. I said, I guess I'm welcome into the family. I'm having cookies. Well, remember setting the date, how we decided Joe Beth would be July 22nd, so I could remember our anniversary, because it's the day before my birthday. Do you remember the day? That day, the wedding day. Excitement, the tears, the laughter, the anticipation. I can remember that day. Still best. I was a normal guy. Had my tuxedo on, and instead of being out back where everybody else and hiding before the wedding, I was out greeting everybody that's coming to the wedding. I was walking around greeting everybody, sitting down with people and talking to them, everything's pretty soon. Somebody's going, hey, you know, come here. I said, what is it? So we gotta have a wedding. Would you mind coming back here? And then when I came out there, and then she came walking down that aisle, good night, she's so beautiful. Man. This thing. That's my eyes. The anticipation. Do you remember the vows? Do you remember standing looking at each other's eyes? That's what I want us to do right now. I'd like you to stand and look at each other right now. Very simplistic vows, but I just want you to repeat them. We can do them both at the same time. The only difference is where you say wife or husband, and of course at the end, till death, I would love and cherish for the man, and love, cherish, and obey for the woman. Amen. But I'll say the words, and you have to put your name in there. Just say I, and your name. Take V and call her by name, please. To be my wedded, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness as in health, to love and cherish, to death do us part. Do you remember at the end of that saying I do? You go ahead and have at it. You may kiss the bride, amen. You can, yes, buddy. I remember there's almost a premonition, I guess, or prophecy of what was coming for our family, for I turned and kissed her. And we started to walk out. They pronounced us man and wife. We started to walk out, and I had a little bitty, about old 8-year-old little cousin, been our flower girl. I forgot, she was so scared, little sweet little thing, and she was so scared, but I told her, she just come up into the park and stand there. I said, when I go out, you go out with me. And when I turned to walk out with Jobeth, I forgot about her. And as we started to step down those stairs, I heard, Robert! And I turned and she ran, and I scooped her up in my arm, and I scooped my wife up in this arm. And we walked out of there, and our wedding picture is not with Jobeth and I. It's Jobeth and I and Cassandra. And everybody there said, that's the way it'd be for them. Because we love each other, we love the children. And do you remember that solemn vow that you make to your lover and to your God? You said, till death do us part. You promised your lover and God. Do you remember that first night? Talk about exciting, huh? I don't talk about it. I said, did you remember? Some of you blushing already and getting some dirty looks in there. That first night, Jobeth and I just, there's nothing about our life that's supposed to be normal. Somebody bought a room at the High Regency for us for our first night. So we went to the High Regency and got there. We got the honeymoon suite. Amen? think this is uptown, honeymoon suite. We walked in. There, it's got this big, beautiful bedroom and everything, an adjoining room over here. So we open up, it's going to have couch and, you know, a little TV area and all this kind of stuff and table. Only problem was nobody cleaned that room. Somebody had the biggest party you ever seen in your life all over everything. You know how it reaches. But see, you think that's bad, but it wasn't. For see, when we, by the time we got through and we got there, everything was closed. And we were starving to death. And these people, whoever had the party, had left nuts and crackers. And for our honeymoon, we were eating, and we were stealing somebody's nuts and crackers, Coca-Cola, and everything else they left. And so we had our wonderful honeymoon night and got up the next morning and realized that in order to keep from having my car all decorated, we had secretly switched cars. Take my brother's car. The only problem with that was my clothes were all in my brother's car. I mean, my car, and now I got my brother's. And so I had no clothes, but Joe Beth did. So we walked out of there with a tuxedo shirt on, and I was wearing Joe Beth's blue jeans. See what? Well, it was her blue jeans. We were not fundamental at that time. But... Yes, and so she had an extra pair, and we wore the same size. She's a big woman. And so, you remember the honeymoon? And you know, everything didn't have to work out perfect to have great memories. Our honeymoon, we spent about $120, because when we got married, I was a lifeguard. Big job. We took off for a week after the high regency. We took off in my truck with a camper on it. Went to the Cumberland Mountains, went to the Smoky Mountains, and spent about $120 for the whole trip. Talked to a guy into giving us a helicopter ride over the Smoky Mountains for $10. We went to some Silver Dollar City fairgrounds or whatever the thing was while we were there. We camped out. We rode bicycles through the mountains. We swam in the mountain rivers. We hiked to the foot of a 300-foot waterfall. We just had the time of our life. We were driving one day, going from one campground to the next, and a big storm came up. We love storms. Good night. We love thunderstorms. It was raining. It was so romantic. She scooted over next to me in that truck, and we just had the time of life. We pulled in the campground about 1 o'clock in the morning. Look forward to crawling in the back there, you know. But the problem is, we left the windows open to the camper. The entire bed up there was soaking wet by the steaming water. We spent about the second night of our honeymoon in a laundromat all night long washing all the sheets and all the clothes. But you know what? We look back on it now, and we were able to have fun doing it. We sat in that laundromat and just talked all night. Just had a great time. Do you remember your first Christmas together? You know, when you didn't have money to get anything. And I got Joe Beth a house robe, and she got me a drill. Amen. We had one old dog, and I think she paid more money for the dog than she did for me, because she bought it a sweater, got me a drill. And then do you remember maybe that first child, when you really heard about that person was coming along? And I can remember going to that mom and daddy of mine, sneaking off out of her room some little shoes that had been mine. And walking into the kitchen, I said, "I got something to tell you, Mom." And she said, "What?" And I pulled them out and I said, "We might be able to use these again." And how excited they got. But I wonder if the cares of the world have choked out your love. The sweetness. Has it taken the sparkle from your eyes? The solution is remember from whence you've fallen. Remember. And I have to say it again. Two folks that never had a church. They're saved, I led them to the Lord myself, but they never had a church. Never were taught. Never understood the goodness of God. And just decided one day that they were going to stick together, and they decided they loved each other, and nothing was going to change it. If they could spend their whole life, 44 years, and be so in love that when some men would walk away and put their wife in a nursing home, my daddy sat beside her night and day, carried her to the bathroom, fixed her something to eat, carried it to her, bathed her, loved her. You know, I think it's because my daddy never forgot where they'd come from and how good God had been to them, to give them four boys and a family that loved each other. And they just never stopped loving each other. And the sparkle was always there. I watch couples so often, as I see their eyes cut at each other about something, I say, no sparkle, I just almost see anger, a bitterness, or just nothing. I think it's starting to grow a little bit. All we got to do is remember. Remember, she's still the same one you married. He's still that same old boy that you just absolutely couldn't live without. And then if you'll just keep remembering, then here's what'll happen. Come here, Jubba. I never understood this when I first got married. But my daddy, as I was getting ready to get married, he asked me, he said, son, do you really love her? And I said, yeah, Dad, of course, I'm getting married to her. And he, an old farmer, just looked and said, no, you don't. So I said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, you don't really love her. I said, yeah, I do, Dad. He said, no, you don't. I said, what do you mean? And he just about started crying. He said, son, you think you do? He said, just but wait. He said, a few years down the road, you realize you don't understand what love really is. And you'll love her so much that you realize when you got married, you didn't even know what love was. And listen, the most beautiful one in the world is not the one I married. It's this one right here. She's more beautiful. She's sweeter. And we love each other more than we did when we got married. But it's because I think we remember. We remember. And all I want you to do is please, don't let the old devil harden your heart. He sneaks in so subtly. Because those habits that aggravate us so bad. I told you about, I couldn't say the one that I first saw. Because she gets so frustrated with me, she walks by and I pat her on the backside. He wants to knock me upside the head. Somebody else, I mean. We remember just for a few minutes. Do you love a little bit more? Does it burn a little bit more, a little fire? I just ask that right now before we leave that we just take time to pray again and love each other. I said, well, Hooker, everything's fine. I'm not sure we really know when that hardness starts to enter in. That's why it's so good to punch that reset button and remember. Amen. He said, nevertheless, I have someone against me because I've left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Let's get back to it. Let's pray. Father, I pray, please, dear God, no devil's trying to destroy our homes, our marriages,
our relationship. He tries every trick in the book. Like it's the most subtle, he just barely drains the warmth from our heart. He little by little lets some statement frustrate us. Some action irritate us. He little by little lets the pressure take away that joy. Lord, all we have to do, as you said, is just remember. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember thy first love. Remember those days. Realize this is the person that I love so much I wanted to spend my life with. And Lord, let that flame, fire kindle again. And be just as excited and joy-filled and sparkle in our eyes as we had 21 years ago. I pray you bless them. And before we stop, I'd like to ask that we stand if someone wants to use an altar right now. A couple of use an altar, however you want to do it. If you'd like to, we'd all stand so it'd be easy to move. You can go and pray. Thank you.